Hey, everybody. We are in Matthew chapter 15, and it's a short interlude in Jesus' travels where he encounters somebody that the disciples don't quite understand, but Jesus is incredibly impressed by her faith. So we're going to read Matthew chapter 15, starting at verse 21, going until verse 28. 15, 21 through 28. That's what we're reading today. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. That's our reading today. An interesting, as I said, interlude here. Jesus is going from one place to the next. He's passing into the region of Tyre and Sidon, generally a Gentile region. And a Canaanite woman encounters him and his band of merry men and people. The Canaanite woman is set up as about as outside of the group as you can get. Not only is she not Jewish, but she's a Canaanite from the old country, a land of Canaan, and truly an outsider. So Matthew has set this up so that we're encountering this outsider, and we see the interaction between her and Jesus as maybe not quite as scandalous as the woman at the well, but certainly not something that Jesus normally would have done or encountered. But he can't deny the faith of this woman. And that's probably the most interesting thing here, is that this woman, even though she's an outsider, has faith in Jesus that, quite frankly, the disciples have not quite grasped yet. She sees him as Lord and Son of David. Again, for a Canaanite woman to express that, Son of David, she's not Jewish. She's remembering back to Israel's days of King David. And she knows that for some reason, whether she's heard it spoken of or she's, you know, been a sort of closet follower of the Jewish faith at the time, but she has an understanding of who Jesus is as Son of David. And she knows he can do something for her daughter. And so she approaches Jesus. She comes out of that area and cries out towards him. And as you can just imagine the disruption that she's causing as she's following behind all of the disciples and the travelers and crying out for Jesus to do something to help her daughter. And the disciples are saying, "Get rid of her, Jesus. She's making a ruckus. She's causing all this madness. Get rid of her." And he, interestingly, doesn't respond to her initially. In fact, he says, I'm, first of all, it says he doesn't say a word to her. He just keeps going. A lot of times, like we do when we're passing somebody who's causing problems or making a ruckus or something like that, we, you know, kind of, you know, roll our eyes and walk the other way. Jesus doesn't say anything to her. And then the disciples ask him to get rid of her. And he then says, "I've only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I've only come for the Jews. I haven't come for the Canaanite woman or the Canaanites or the Gentiles or any of that." And so what he's saying is, "I don't want to have anything to do with her because that's not why I'm here." But she places herself in front of him, gets in his way, and says, help me, help me. And then he does respond to her, but he almost insultingly, he says, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. In other words, it's not right for me to give you what I've come to bring the children of Israel, because you're not one of them. So it wouldn't be right for me to engage you in this conversation, to approach what it is you're asking me, because it's not for you. The miracles, the feeding, the walking on water, all of that stuff, the miraculous healings, they're not for you. They're for the Jews. And she's stopped him in his tracks and is in his way, and maybe he's a little bit frustrated. But her response blows him away. Her response is, yeah, Jesus, I understand. And I'm not asking for all of the bread. I'm not asking for the whole loaf. I'm not asking for even the good stuff. What I'm asking for is a crumb. Because even a crumb is what the dogs get. So whether I'm considered a dog, whether I'm outside of the group, all I need is a crumb from you. And Jesus responds, great is your faith. And her daughter's healed. It's incredible, because Jesus takes this opportunity to show who he's truly there for, to show that, yes, I'm not here for the Gentiles. Maybe you'll get yours later, but I'm not here for you. He has an opportunity to really prove his purpose. And yet, in the midst of this disruption, he finds faith in the most unlikely of places. He finds faith in a woman who isn't even connected, who isn't even by marriage connected, who's still considered a Canaanite. This is where Jesus shows exactly who he is. That yes, he has come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's come for the wayward Jews, the ones who have gotten this whole faith thing wrong, or been misled, or whatever. But he finds faith in an unlikely place. And so he is moved by that. And I think sometimes we don't understand. I know we don't understand fully, because we're human. We're not Jesus. So we're not going to get everything that he does. But I think sometimes we hold the bread. We hold the bread. And we keep it for ourselves. So the bread being all of the stuff that Jesus has done, the forgiveness, the grace, the everlasting life, the mercy, the love, all of those things that we think Jesus has brought just for us. And I'm hoping we don't always think this way, but I can be reasonably sure that oftentimes we do. We think that the bread is only for us, this stuff that Jesus brought. They're only for those who understand their faith, who get the expression of faith, who worship in the right ways or in the right places. And do you hear all these rules that we set up about who should get the bread? And maybe this goes to communion too. I don't want to push it into that arena quite yet. But Jesus comes and he's saying the bread is only for certain people, but the bread is for the faithful, because he grants her that crumb. So the bread that we sort of try and hold to ourselves, the bread that the disciples in the feeding of the 5,000 said, we only have so many loaves of bread. We don't have enough for everybody, so we're going to keep that for ourselves. And yet Jesus says, no, give it to me, because I'm going to give it to everybody. Here Jesus says the bread's only for this group of people, but when he hears faith, when he sees faith, he's moved to give bread, to give the gifts, to others. That's what's incredible about Jesus. I think there's a whole lot. But in this sort of interlude, that's Jesus decides then and there that the bread can be given to anyone who has faith. Now, I know I may be stepping out on a limb by saying that, but I think Jesus is moved by the faith that the woman has. He's not moved by the fact that she's Canaanite or that she's, an outsider. That's not it. And she doesn't have a lengthy pedigree that she can, trace back to, generations in the Jewish faith, and somehow she's on the outside of that. That's not it. The disciples don't understand it because they want to get rid of her. They want to keep the bread for themselves, or they still think the bread is only for them. Maybe. They haven't gotten it yet. And so this woman moves Jesus to share the crumbs. So I think sometimes we may need to see that the bread is for others. See that the bread can be shared. And it's not gonna run out. There's plenty of bread to go around. And sometimes even a crumb, even just a little tiny bit, is enough. In fact, when it comes to Jesus, that's all we need. Faith the size of a mustard seed is another place where he talks about it's only the minuscule, the little tiny amount. That's all we need. When we take communion and we use the individual wafers, those little round things that are sort of taste a little like styrofoam, that's all we need. We don't need a giant hunk of a loaf of bread. All we need is a crumb. All we need is a sip. All we need is just that little bit. And boy, do we need it. We need that taste of faith. We need that little bit. And Jesus gives it to us. He gives it to us freely. He doesn't wait for us to have the right pedigree or the right connections or the right family or the right history or the right anything. The right look, the right clothes, the right whatever. He doesn't wait for that. He doesn't say to the Canaanite woman, well, I'll heal your daughter as soon as you convert. As soon as you become a Jew, then I'll heal your daughter. But in order to do that, it's going to take years of schooling and synagogue and all of that. And you're going to have to really, memorize the Torah. And it's going to take you probably 10 to 15 years to do. So your daughter's just going to have to suffer until then. Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't even make her wait. He doesn't even go to her house. He just says, your faith is so great. And so your daughter's healed. He doesn't wait. He gives that morsel to those in need, to those who are desperately clinging to something that they need to be fed. So let me walk this analogy out just a little further, probably, than it should go. But since we're having services here at Grace, and they're short services, 20, 25 minutes maybe, and there's not singing, and there's not fellowship, and there's not a lot of stuff. We have to wear masks and stay separate, and communion is broken up into smaller groups. And we long to have our full worship service with the organ and all of those things. But honestly, all we need is a taste. We crave more, we desire more, and that's wonderful. I'm glad people desire more. But all you need to sustain you, all you need is a morsel, a crumb, a taste. So maybe that's all we get for a while. Maybe that's all we get is a crumb. But for now, it's enough. And until the day comes when we can get back to the full meal, right now we're going to be satisfied with the crumbs. So we'll take it. We'll take it. However Jesus chooses to give it to us, we'll take that. And so may your faith be sustained by even just a morsel, even just a taste, by portals of prayer or these sermons, however they may be. Maybe that's what we need to sustain our faith now. And so I pray that your faith is sustained through this, that Jesus knows of your great faith and gives you what you need for now, until that day comes when we can, first of all, feast together, but then enjoy the heavenly feast that is to come with everybody who Jesus has brought to him. Amen.